Michael Cohen should be a co-defendant. If you believe what the prosecutors just said, Michael Cohen should be a co-defendant, not a witness. He has so many reasons to lie, so many reasons to pin this on someone else, to keep himself out of jail, which he was unable to do in the federal case.
Michael Cohen is a felon. He is an admitted liar. Does the prosecution's case, you think, rise and fall with his credibility?
I think it has a tremendous impact. Look, there is paperwork that corroborates the people's evidence. And that's obviously hurtful for the president. But my understanding is it's not paperwork with Donald Trump's handwriting on it or his signature on it, except for a check. So the defense could merely be, hey, Michael Cohen did all of this. He never told his client. He just said, look, I need money for this. I need money for that. And, you know, one of the witnesses who's going to testify at this trial testified for the feds. And he said that the money that was given to Michael Cohen was for Stormy Daniels and for legal fees. That's a reasonable doubt. So you got to hang on these little reasonable doubts, Anderson, and put them as many together as you can for your closing argument.
Alvin Bragg's case is looking worse and worse by the day. We're going to see the latest bombshell evidence that was presented by Team Trump that already has the prosecution reeling, and how jury attrition alone may end this whole thing in a mistrial. You are not going to want to miss this. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your Patriot Professor, here to help you stay sane in these insane times. So make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. Also, a quick programming note. Tonight, Tuesday the 23rd, I'm doing a special live stream that is the single most important live stream I've ever done. Make sure to tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. This involves all of us. You're not going to want to miss it. As you know, yesterday, the sham trial of the century got underway. The so-called hush money trial against President Trump began with opening arguments from both the prosecution and the defense. And my namesake, Jonathan Turley, professor of law at George Washington University, let's just say he was hardly impressed with the state's case.
What is clear is in this case, Trump is right. I mean, this is an embarrassment. I mean, the fact that we are actually talking about this case being presented in a New York courtroom leaves me in utter disbelief. I mean, the arguments today did, in fact, capture all the problems here. You know, you had this misdemeanor under state law where that had run out. This is going back to related to the 2016 election. And they zapped it back into life by alleging that there was a campaign finance violation under the federal laws that doesn't exist. The Department of Justice doesn't view it this way. But on top of that, you've got these tough factual issues that were laid out well by the Trump tape, saying someone else designated this as a legal expense. And he was actually paid far in excess of this because of this was a legal account. But also keep in mind, this is what Hillary Clinton's people did. You know, remember when they funded the Steele dossier, which they denied to reporters, they put it as a legal expense. And then they fought the eventual fine that they received from the federal government, saying, but it was a legal expense. But now you've got some of the same Democrats supporting this bizarre theory.
Now, you heard Jonathan Turley yourself there. This case, in his words, is a, quote, embarrassment. I mean, he's simply gobsmacked this case is even happening. What Jonathan Turley just laid out there is so key to appreciating just how absurd this case really is. When all is said and done, this case is fundamentally a misdemeanor, a state misdemeanor, where the statute of limitations has already run out. That's going back over 7 years. This was a misdemeanor where the statute of limitations has already run out. What Trump did here, the only thing he did, and it wasn't even him, it was his organization, is they filed the $130,000 payment made to the now disgraced lawyer Michael Cohen. They filed it as a legal expense on their taxes. The Manhattan DA's office turned around and argued that this payment had nothing to do with legal services. It was hush money payment, right? So they accused the Trump organization of falsifying their business documents. But in the state of New York, falsifying business documents is nothing more than a misdemeanor. And since we're dealing with something that happened back in 2016, the statute of limitations has already run out. So this is a mere misdemeanor where the statute of limitations has run out. That's what this case is. So the only way Bragg could resurrect this thing, zap it back to life, as it were, was if he turned the whole thing into a campaign finance violation under federal law, which is a felony. And he could only do that by reinterpreting the falsified business documentation as an effort by Trump to deliberately try to cover up another crime, which in this case was the accusation that Trump paid the money in order to hide the alleged affair from his presidential campaign, which would be a campaign finance violation. But again, it's virtually impossible to prove that. It's virtually impossible to prove that the only reason Trump paid Stormy Daniels was to hide their supposed affair from his presidential campaign. They couldn't even prove that with the John Edwards case, right? The former North Carolina senator. And that was a case that was much, much stronger in terms of evidential grounds. But the reason it's so hard to prove is because the reasons for trying to pay someone off can easily go way beyond campaigns. It could be for a whole host of reasons, like Trump not wanting Melania to know. But then, as Jonathan Turley pointed out, as well as that fellow at the beginning of CNN, to add insult to injury in all of this, it wasn't even Trump who did this in the end. Trump's signatures are not on these documents that allocated the money to Cohen. Someone else did this. There's no evidence that Trump even knew about this. As you heard, this is absolutely devastating to the state's case, if we're dealing with a fair jury, that is. And by the way, even that's becoming an issue. Leftists are starting to get very, very nervous here. MSNBC legal analyst Danny Savalas, he was actually sounding the alarm over the problem of juror attrition. Jurors are dropping like flies, and he's concerned that that attrition could result in a mistrial.
I think juror attrition could be a real problem in this case. I mean, just do the math. Last week, we lost two jurors before the trial even began. When you think about it, you do lose jurors during a trial. I've lost them. They fell asleep. They don't follow the judge's orders. But you don't normally lose a juror after the moment they're selected and between that and the time that the trial actually begins, because ordinarily, nothing happens during that time. But in this case, you have an example where a juror goes home. They start really thinking about their duty and what this is going to entail. And they come back and say, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. By the way, that's also something that happens from time to time. I've had it in organized crime cases. You have jurors who come up to the judge and say, I'll do anything, please. I do not want to be on this jury. I'm afraid. That's not obviously the same situation here, but you do have jurors who are going to have second thoughts. And the question becomes, will six alternates be enough to cover this trial? I hope so. But if what we've seen so far, if that's the rate of loss of jurors to or before we even start the trial, that could be a real problem. And that could lead to a mistrial, which in, I think, the defense's view is a win.
Hey gang, who wants to come with me on a cruise? This is your chance to make this summer a summer you will never, ever forget. Now's your chance to embark on an exclusive adventure with me, Dr. Steve, and other patriots just like you as we set sail on the Mediterranean. You're invited to join us this August on Royal Caribbean's luxury liner, the Voyager of the Seas. You'll get to spend time with me and other like-minded patriots during live onboard classes as we dive into topics like the rising parallel economy, the culture wars, and how you can share my optimism in conservative renewal. We'll discover enchanting architecture, timeless artistry, and breathtaking experiences as we adventure through Spain, France, and Italy. Enjoy incredible dining experiences, enriching education, and once-in-a-lifetime attractions each day of our journey. It will be a summer that you will never forget. Join me and your fellow patriots August 5th to 12th, 2024, for this unparalleled adventure. If you want more info and want to take part in our last-minute pricing sale, my team is waiting to talk to you right now. There are only a handful of cabins left, so don't wait. Click on that link below or go to cruiseinfo.turleytalks.com to learn more. It's going to be an absolutely unforgettable trip, and I can't wait to spend it with you. Click on that link below right now. What's particularly maddening in all of this is the way the legacy media is deliberately trying to present this absolutely absurd case as credible. I mean, you'll note that the media has no problem calling out what they believe to be absurdities, right? They never tire on dismissing President Trump's accusations of the 2020 election being rigged, because it was, as false allegations. But you'll notice they'll never do anything of the sort with this obvious fraud of a case. And that's because in the end, they're not press, they're propaganda. As the Twitter files show, these media outlets work arm in arm with the deep state and the Biden administration to run election interference on behalf of bumbling Biden. They are propagandists and they are frauds. What Turley said there was indisputable. This case is legally absurd. There's absolutely nothing serious about this case. It is a legally absurd case. Bragg shouldn't even be trying this case. It's a federal case. And the reason why he's trying it as a federal case with a campaign finance violation charge that makes it federal is because the statutes of limitations ran out on the state misdemeanor charge that Trump would have normally been charged with. So they had no choice. They had to bootstrap the charges and turn them into federal charges, even though the Justice Department, which handles federal court cases, refused to prosecute this. So this whole case is absolutely procedurally insane. And yet the legacy media is doing everything they can to fabricate credibility. We'll see if at least one juror has the moral conscience to recognize what's really happening here, because if he or she does, in the end, justice may finally happen after all.